Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
I want to go over into Matthew's gospel, and I want to read about Jesus' death here first, and then we'll read about the resurrection. Matthew 27, I want to start out with verse 45, and it said, "And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." So what that means is from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was pitch dark. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, which is by the cross, when they heard that, said, "This man crieth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see if whether Elias will come and save him." And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. I want you to remember that. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." They split in two. And listen, "and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion," he was the one that was ahead of all the soldiers, "and that were with him," the other soldiers, "watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many of the women there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, and among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed, which cut out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary standing against the sepulchre. Now the next day," which would have been a Saturday, "the following day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate." Remember, Pilate's the governor of Rome and of this area, "saying, Sir, we remember how this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to him to the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error, this is how they look at it, shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Amen. So here these soldiers are around the sepulchre, around the tomb of Jesus, making sure his disciples don't let him steal him away. We'll get into that. Verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 1. And at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone back from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. That means rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet. And worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray, God, for your help to preach this message this morning. And realize, Lord, that without you, we can't do it. There's too much here, Lord, for me. Your word's too great, too much to try to explain. So we pray for your help this morning, God. The words that would be said and the words that you would want us to say this morning. Help us to understand and see the light of your word today. Amen. Amen. Do you know today there's people that believe that Jesus never died? It's a belief today. They say that he never died. There's scholars that say that he never died. They say what happened to him was that he had went through so much suffering, and he went through so much pain, from all the emotional suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, then all the beating, and they say he really never died, he just went into a coma. And then Joseph put him in his tomb. I tell you, man can believe anything they want.
But I want to tell you something. I read that to you this morning because I read you the truth. Amen. Man has tried to change the gospel. They've tried to change the word of God down through the years. They conformed it. There's so many Bibles today where they translated the word of God to conform to how they want it to say. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Huh? Jesus died. Huh? The scripture says it clearly, huh? Right here, that he gave up the ghost. Huh? It said here, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Amen. And he became a dead man. He died on the cross. Praise God. Huh? His death, my friend, huh? Sealed the forgiveness of our sins from now until eternity. Amen. Praise God. Huh? I want to tell you something this morning. What a sight. Huh? Wouldn't this be something? I know if you could capture all this on film. Huh? What took place, my friend, at the crucifixion when Jesus died. I want to bring these points out here to you. Said here, it said, and behold, the veil on the temple was rent from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks, my friend, did rent. Torn to. I want to tell you something this morning. Huh? I know I preached on this before, and I got to thinking about it last night. Do you know what the veil on the temple was? Some of you know it. I preached about it. But that veil in the temple, I want to give you the dimensions of this. You being a carpenter, Norm, you didn't think about this. This veil, my friend, was a curtain that was in the temple of God, huh? That separated the temple where they worshiped and everything, huh? And to another room where the Holy of Holies was. That's where God showed up. Huh? That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And in the Ark of the Covenant was God's Ten Commandments. It was a sacred place. It was a holy place. And once a year, huh, the priest would go in there and he would take the blood of the sacrifices that the Jewish people had brought, and he would sprinkle the blood over the Ark and the mercy seat and all these things, my friend. Huh? Only the high priest could go. Nobody was allowed in that place. Huh? The curtain was 60 feet high. It was 30 feet wide. And it was 4 inches thick. Huh? It took 300 priests to hang this curtain. That's how heavy it was. They didn't have the machinery and the things that we have today. Huh? The priest would go in there. Huh? And atone, my friend, for the sins of the people. And God would come down and he would accept it. Huh? Their sins were forgiven. Hmm? Think about what those Jews saw that day. Nobody was allowed in there but once a year, the great high priest. But the scripture said, when Jesus died, it was split in two. Amen? You know what that means this morning, church? Hallelujah. I tell you, this just stirs my heart. My friend, what it means this morning as the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus gave, now it's open. Huh? The door, the curtain is open for all mankind to come in, my friend, and have a relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen. Huh? Now's come the time, huh, my friend, huh, that there's no barrier. There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping me this morning of having a personal, live relationship with God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus is our great high priest. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder what those Jews thought. when they looked at the temple and the Holy of Holies, and that curtain was split wide open. See, if the priest wasn't right, if he wasn't right in his heart, and he didn't have anything settled, and he went behind that curtain, he would have never came out alive. God has struck him dead. And the rocks rent. The earthquake happened. And then it said this. It said here, and it said, and the graves were open. The graves were open. The earthquake, my friend, there was a graveyard there. And it said that when that earthquake happened, those graves opened up. You could look down in there and see the graves, the people that were in there. Now listen, for 3 days, they stayed open. But on the third day, those who believed in God, those who believed in the Son of God, that were saints, I'm not saying anything of my own, I'm saying what the Scripture said, they came out of the grave when Jesus came out of his. And went into the city, and was seen by many, and was witnessed to the power of Christ's resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. I want to bring that out. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. Man has tried to stop this, tried to shut it up. The Jews try to stop it, in their day. That's why they killed Jesus. He wasn't the Messiah to them. He was a deceiver. He was not who they expected. And I want to tell you something. Nothing in this world, nothing in this life is not going to stop what God has planned. You hear me? They can write any kind of commentaries. They can preach any gospel they want to preach. They can compromise the faith that's in the Word of God. But they're not going to change anything. For thus it is written. Amen. I want to tell you something. Those Jews, they were really concerned now. They knew something had taken place. It said here that the centurions, they were watching all this. And I want to tell you, they were heathens. They were Roman soldiers. They had no idea about God. But I want to tell you something. When they seen the bleeding, dying Son of God on that cross, and they seen what happened when he gave up the ghost, what did they say? Truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Truly, he was the Son of God. They never had no preaching. They never had anybody explain who Jesus was to them. They just heard somebody say that. Well, he claims to be the Son of God. They written it on top of the cross. King of the Jews, But I tell you, when this all happened, they knew who he was. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Jews, the Pharisees, they came to Pilate. And they said, hey, we heard about this deceiver. How after 3 days, he said he would rise again from the dead. Now what we want you to do, we want you to take a band of soldiers down there. We want you to guard that tomb. We don't want his disciples coming and stealing him away.
I want to tell you something. When that stone rolled down, see, that was set up. I want to get to Joseph here in a minute. Well, that tomb, was cut out of that rock. They set up a stone that was so heavy, huge, that no man, no beast, nothing could get in there. And it was rigged up where whatever was holding the stone back, they moved it, and the stone rolled down in place where it was supposed to be to seal it. And those guards are watching. Keeping watch. They couldn't open the tomb. Neither could the disciples if they even tried. God sealed it up. Amen. Let me get to Joseph for just a minute, real quick, and then we'll get on with this resurrection. Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was in the high court of the Jews. Very wise man and a very rich man. It said here that he was a secret disciple. He kept it hid. Listen to me. He kept it hid for the purpose that he didn't want to lose his position in the world where he was and what he was, but yet he knew who Christ was. He believed every word that Christ said. So he kind of kept it hid as a hidden disciple, a secret from them. Yet, when Christ died, my friend, he changed into another man. He realized that what he believed was now reality, and it changed his mind. He didn't care what anybody thought of him. He was going to go and get the body of Jesus and bang it off of Pilate so he could put it in his own tomb. I want to tell you something, my friend. Hallelujah. When you get this salvation, you won't care what the world thinks anymore. Amen. Because you'll have a joy and a peace in your heart that will surpass all understanding. Amen. The living Christ will be in your heart. Who cares what the world thinks? Amen. For I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He went and got that body of Jesus, wrapped it in the linen cloth, put him in the tomb. You know what would have happened to Jesus? I guarantee. The disciples were gone. They left. They ran. They thought they would be next, in this execution, because they were his followers. But what would have happened to Jesus' body? It's the same thing that happened to those criminals that were crucified on each side of him. They would have took his body, and they would have took it to a place where they buried criminals at that time, or they would have burnt his body. They burned them or they buried them, whatever they did. The option was theirs. But not Christ. Listen, the scripture said, my friend, he was killed. They killed him just like a thief and a murderer and a man that was no good in his death. But I want to take him, as scripture said, also he was buried in the rich man's. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something this morning. I said here, let me read this. And at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. There's four different versions of the resurrection, all in the Gospels, and they all say a little bit different things.
But I want to tell you something.
They came there really to anoint the body of Christ for his burial.
But I'll tell you what they come down there for. Not only that, but they came down with a broken heart.
Their Savior was dead. Their Savior was gone. I want to tell you something,
church. Death has a way of making things final.
Hear me? It has a way of doing that. It has a way of putting things to an end.
And they came down there to pay their respects, tears in their eyes, their hearts broken.
And the disciples were the same way. They wasn't there. They were gone and into Galilee hiding,
But their hearts was broken. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen to me,
The disciples and these women, especially the disciples, followed Jesus everywhere he went. They slept with him. They ate with him. They done everything with Christ. They seen all his miracles. They knew and witnessed the power of God and knew that he was the Son of God. Peter gave that witness. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I tell you what, they were pumped up. They were built up. My friend, they had faith in Christ. My friend, that was so strong. Nothing in this world could defeat it.
And when he died,
all hope was gone. They didn't see it. The scripture said it was hid from them.
But Jesus was everything to them. And now he's gone.
Now everything's empty. Their lives are shattered. The scripture said that most of those disciples were fishermen.
And it said they went back and started fishing again.
You see the loss and the emptiness in their heart and life. All hope was gone. What about this kingdom? What about this everlasting kingdom that Jesus told us about?
Now he's gone. He's gone. What are we going to do? And the ladies came to the tomb. And they said, who's going to roll the stone away so we can anoint the body of Christ? I know it's not in this scripture, but it's in another one. Who's going to roll it away? And said here, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the, and set upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment is white as snow. And for fear the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not. Amen. I'm here for a reason. I'm here because God sent me here. Amen. There's a purpose why I'm here this morning. Fear ye not, for I know you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Amen. Come see the place where he lay. I want to tell you something. You remember this. The only reason the stone was removed, so the women can look inside and see that the tomb was empty.
And the disciples came later, Peter and John, and looked into the tomb,
and it was empty. You see, the angel didn't have to roll the stone away to let Jesus out. He was already gone. He was already risen. Can you imagine what they thought in their surprise?
And the shock of this, and now
Now, you know, all the weeping and the sorrow and the brokenness of their hearts, my friend, were shattered, huh? And then all of a sudden, my friend, this angel appears, the earthquake, and the stones roll back, and this angel standing before them and tells them, "You're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen." Just like he said. Amen. Huh? I tell you, listen, my friend. Hallelujah. The suffering and the grief and the hurt and the pain turned into joy. Amen. It turned into joy and peace and thankfulness and worship to the living Christ that they loved. Amen. Their hope was restored. I want to tell you something, church, this morning. I tell you what's wrong with this world today. It's living without any hope. They don't know Jesus. They're lost this morning. And the world looks empty. And they don't know what to do or how to go about their life. But I'm thankful this morning that Christ had arose from the dead, my friend, and is a living hope to everyone that believes. Hallelujah. Their hope was restored. Huh? There was new life, my friend, when they looked into the tomb and it was gone. He was not there. Huh? And they started off. Huh? They started from that sepulcher, my friend, and they ran. Huh? I don't know how old those women was. They're in them robes and everything. Huh? And they took off running. And they met the living Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, my friend. They met Jesus, the risen Christ, and the first thing they done was fell at his feet and worshiped him. Huh. Hallelujah. That's going to happen to me and you one of these days, my friend. When we get over there and into heaven, we're going to fall at the scars of Jesus' feet and worship him. And praise Him for eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, the Bible says we have hope in this life. We're a man most miserable. But I'm glad this morning that our hope is not in this life and in this world. Our hope's in Jesus and the life to come. Hallelujah. Jesus said, all hell. He said, rejoice. Go tell my disciples. Go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee and there shall you see me. Amen. That's exactly what happened. I don't know how many, I was going to look this up. I don't know how many appearances where Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples and many people. After his death, there was so much proof. You're not going to be able to deny these things, church. The truth will never be denied. Amen. Jesus, or God said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. I'm glad Christ is alive today, ain't you? Amen. I'm glad he's on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me read this to you here. Some notes I took. I want to share them with you. Which is so true. Without the resurrection, all is vain. The resurrection was proof of all Jesus said. It was living proof of all he said he was and all the things that he'd done while here on earth. If there was no resurrection, there would be no hope for you and me. No church, no truth, no faith, and no eternal life. Jesus' life, listen, would have been in the pages of history
like any other religious leader, such as Muhammad, Buddha, Bagram, which is a Hindu god. Christianity would have had no power, listen to me, to change anybody's life. And we would still be in our sins, like the rest of the world. It would have been another, listen, religion of the world. But thank God, the grave could not hold him. Amen? Huh? Death could not keep him. God raised Jesus up by his own power to set, listen, to set man free from the bondage of sin and give people a new life in Christ. Praise God forever for that. Amen? There is only one, listen to me, there is only one true religion in the world. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All other religions are a false religion. Hear me? Jesus said, because I live, you may live also. Amen? He said this is the reason why everything was accomplished, because he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Amen? And that's what it is in the Christian life. It's not our will, but what God's will is for our life. Amen? The cross was a down payment, or the cross was, I'm sorry, the cross was the payment for sin, and the resurrection was the receipt that it was paid in full. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. Listen, to die no more. Never die again. The victory was won at Gethsemane. The price was paid at Calvary. Listen, church. And the resurrection was the purchase of our salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no fellowship, huh, with dead people. Huh? I know that sounds a little kind of dumb and weird, but there's no fellowship with dead people. Christ is alive and well today, and we have fellowship with Him. How do you know that, preacher? I'll tell you how I know it. Huh? Because I walk with Him, huh, day by day. Huh? I'm not nothing special, believe me, huh? I shouldn't even be up here preaching. I don't deserve it, and I'm unworthy of it. But I wanted you to know that Christ lives in here. Amen. How do you know? Because I felt His Spirit, and it's nothing that the world can give. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. This is what the gospel, I'm going to quit, but this is what the gospel is all about. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why He came. This is the whole thing of it. It's because of God's love for men. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Amen. Huh? And that's where we die. We crucify the old man. Huh? Jesus was buried in a tomb. Our old sinful life. This is just a short glimpse of the gospel. The old sinful life was buried with Him. Amen. This is Bible. This is what the book says. Our old self was buried with Him. But when Jesus rose from the grave, amen, we arose, huh, in newness of life as a new creature in Christ. That's what the gospel is.
That's what all this is about. That's what the cross is about. That's what the resurrection is about. Huh? Because you see, like I said, God is love, but God hates sin. Sin's got a price. Sin comes with a price. Listen to me. I know I preached this just a week or two ago or whatever. It comes with a price. Huh? Either you're going to pay for your sins, huh, and spend eternity in hell and suffering and torment and burning. I know that don't sound good. That sounds very unpleasant. And I understand that. But it's Bible. Huh? And you're going to pay for it, or you're going to believe in Christ. You can believe in Christ. Huh? That He paid the price for your sins. Huh? And after that, eternal life is all yours. Yeah. Huh? I want to tell you something. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and I hold on to it. I try my best to hold on to it. It helped me so much. Huh? Paul, the Apostle Paul, said this in Galatians 2 and 20. Remember this, church. Huh? And I'm going to close with this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, listen, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see that? Huh? This is where I draw strength, because I realize, my friend, huh? There's a crucifixion of the old man. Huh? There's a crucifixion of the old man, and there's a resurrection of a new man. You see, Paul said, huh? My old self, my old person, who I once was, is dead. Huh? It's dead. Huh? But yet, see, I'm still alive. Huh? I'm still breathing. I'm still living in this world. Huh? I'm still going about my daily things. But he said, it's not I. Huh? It's not I that's doing the living. Huh? It's not I that's doing the thinking. It's not I that's making the decision. It's not I that's living this life. But it's Christ in me. Huh? It's Christ. Huh? I live for Christ. I live for Him. He's the one that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. He lives in me. If that ain't a picture of the resurrection, you ain't going to find anything any better than that. Hallelujah. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Huh? And I live it by faith. If you ain't got any faith, you're never going to make it to heaven. I can guarantee that. I live by faith. Huh? And it's not, and my faith is strong, but it's not all faith either. Huh? Because I've had some experiences along life's way with Him through my faith. Huh? It allowed me to hold on. Amen. Just like Courtney said, 35 years old, she's been through a lot. Huh? But God's been with her every step of the way. Huh? I want to tell you something. Jesus knows our life from the beginning to the end and everything in between. Huh? He knew the day we were born. He knows the day we'll die. Huh? And everything that happens in between that, He knows all about it. He knows what we'll go through. He knows the sufferings that we face, the heartaches that we face, the brokenness that we face, the problems and the health issues of this life. He knows all about it because He took it all on Himself. Huh? God laid it all on Him in Gethsemane and the cross. He took it all. The physical plus the sinful part of us. Huh? And buried it to Calvary. I want to tell you something. Huh? I found this out. I love my mom and dad. My mom's still with us. Huh. They were great, great people. Huh. You could go to them. You could talk to them. Huh. And they could help you. You could tell them what was going on. Huh. Some of us had close friends that we shared things with them that we never shared with anybody else.
How? But I found out there's some things
that you can't share with them. Huh? They've helped us, but you can't share with them because they can't help. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus knows. See, they have it. They can help you and give you advice and take you through it and might experience some of the same things that you experience, but they are limited. But Christ went through it all for us. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a risen Savior. Amen.
Not a dead. And the reason I said that every other religion in the world is false religions, because their Messiah and their God, my friend, is dead and there's nothing there. The Christianity religion is the only religion in the world where their Savior had come back to life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that today.